Hello again now. How common is insomnia? Lack of restful sleep? Actually, very common indeed, of course. But severe enough to bring you and your nearest and dearest to the point of seeking medical advice? Not so frequent. Often folk will understand that this lack of sleep may be a temporary response to any number of irritations, interruptions in your daily life, stresses that may pass. But what if not, and what if it's not all that clear as to why you can't sleep? Why you can't awake in the morning bright and breezy? Lots of facts, of course, can impact on your what we call sleep quality, especially initially getting off to sleep. Bedroom's wrong, too noisy, too hot, too cold, bedding's wrong, bed's wrong, partner's wrong. Numbers of things, including other things, obvious stuff such as caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and even mildly stimulating medications such as pseudoephedrine, for example, you might use for a cough or a cold. Other quite common disorders, though, may impact on sleep quality. Do you snore, or shall I say, do your family or partner tell you that you actually snore? Keeping them awake, if nothing else. Snoring is, of course, just a noise, the result of several airway, nose, throat, mouth, physical factors. The key issue here, though, potentially the impact on your natural ability to breathe normally whilst asleep. If you develop sleep apnea, this can be a significant effect on your quality of sleep. Indeed, given situations, this lack of restful sleep leads inevitably to daytime sleepiness issues. Sleep apnea basically means you stop breathing whilst you're asleep. Can't believe it? Well, ask your friends, family, partner, if that does happen. And they'll readily tell you, yes, it does. You know, the sort of that sort of thing can be significant. If this is you or yours, have a look at completing a so-called Epworth sleepiness score. Readily available online on the internet, you might be surprised in the results. Interesting, in reality, many self-confessed insomniacs don't actually have problems with daytime sleepiness at all. Indeed, less than 1 in 10 on testing actually sleep less than about 6 hours. Remarkable. The perception, of course, is quite different. An increasingly well-recognised condition that might well affect sleep, though, is this odd-sounding disorder, restless leg syndrome, RLS, typically associated with the low iron storage levels. Readily found on routine blood tests. Check that out on the website RLS Capital UK. Genuine insomnia, though, is really a bit of a challenge sometimes. Diagnostically described as sleep lack or getting to sleep or difficulty getting to sleep or staying asleep for more than 3 nights a week for over 3 months. That's pretty significant. In other words, just that, without any obvious other factor. You may now understand, of course, the ease with which you may wonder, well, let's just try some sleeping pills. You might think it's a short-term fix, but you must understand this sometimes is not the case. Even the mildest prescribing sleeping tablets can become addictive, become dependent on them, even subtly so. And this may affect daytime alertness whilst working, driving or similar. In reality, in fact, CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, specifically designed for this condition, actually in research terms, works best. There are several online facilities available. Alternately, even slightly novel medications have, of course, been successful short term for those who lack this ability to get off to sleep. For example, the over 55s, you've got melatonin, the jet lag medication, very popular in the States. That's licensed for the 55s up to 13 weeks. It actually assists you getting off to sleep, doesn't alter, in theory, the length of time you are asleep. Several other medications not strictly designed for insomnia, though, and some of those are readily available to be used short-term, too, on prescription. Popular over-the-counter stuff, such as Nitol, is perhaps another example, another option. This specific agent is the same stuff as in Benylin original cough mixture, diphenhydramine, a fairly blunt instrument of an old-fashioned antihistamine, It's a bit of a chemical cosh in reality, particularly if taken late or in more than the recommended dose. This stuff will deliver significant daytime drowsiness, almost as like a mini hangover, right through the following morning. But if you want to get to sleep and you're really stuck, yeah, it does work for some. So there we have it, a sort of very light tap dance over this weighty and often rather frustrating subject. In essence, there are lots of options, not ones ending in just a prescription for sleeping pills. Increasingly, medical evidence indeed is moving away from this option, and increasingly aware that, is the want of the human condition, some patients are definitely best served by not starting down that road in the first place. Horses for courses, naturally. One size does not fit all, other options are available. In essence, this is an interesting topic, perhaps more interesting than you realised. Till next week, cheerio.